Chapter 1. A Strange Welcome. Mr. Lockwood's Story. I've just returned from a visit to my landlord, Mr. Heathcliff, who is the only neighbor that I shall have in this rented house. This is certainly a beautiful, quiet region. I set off yesterday afternoon in cold weather, and I walked 4 miles from my new house to Mr. Heathcliff's, an estate called Wuthering Heights. As I walked up to the gate, the wind started blowing snow down from a dark sky. The gate was locked. I jumped over it and knocked at the front door. There was no answer, so I knocked harder and harder until my hand was red and sore. Finally, a young man carrying farm tools walked up behind me and led me around the back and inside to a warm, cheerful room with a huge fire. A young woman, whom I took to be Heathcliff's wife, was sitting in a chair. "Rough weather," I remarked. She just looked at me without answering. "Sit down," said the young man who had let me in. "He'll be in soon," he added roughly. "A beautiful animal," I said, seeing a dog in the corner. Finally, the young woman spoke. "It's not mine," she said coldly. Then she added, "You should not have come here if you didn't like the weather." She started preparing for tea, but when she was taking out the cups, she paused. "Were you asked to tea?" she demanded. "I'd be happy to have a cup," I answered. "Were you asked?" she repeated. "No," I said, smiling at what I thought was a joke. She frowned and threw one cup back in the cupboard, looking like she was ready to cry. Confused, I stayed silent and sat there uncomfortably until Mr. Heathcliff walked in 5 minutes later. I rose and shook his hand, surprised by his appearance. In contrast to his plain house, he had the clothes and manners of a gentleman. On the other hand, his features were those of a dark gypsy, not of an English country gentleman. "Get the tea ready," he growled at the young lady. "Is he to have any?" she asked. "Get it ready, will you?" He shouted so viciously that I jumped. Tea was served. We sat down and began to eat in silence. I became uncomfortable and decided to try to make conversation. "Well, Mr. Heathcliff," I said amiably, "I am quite jealous of your wonderful home. You must be happy here with your family and your lovely wife at your side." "Ha!" he interrupted, with an almost evil sneer on his face. "My wife is dead. Mrs. Heathcliff is my son's wife." I saw that I had made a mistake. I should have known that she was too young for him. She didn't look more than 17, and he was about 40. "Ah, I see," I said, still trying to be cheerful. I looked at the dirty young man who had led me into the house and was now eating like an animal. I thought this must be Heathcliff's son. "So you are the lucky husband of this lovely girl," I said. This produced an even worse reaction. The young man's face went dark and he uttered a curse. "You are unlucky at guessing, sir," observed my host. "This is certainly not my son." "My name is Hareton Earnshaw," growled the young man proudly, "and I'd advise you to show respect." Bewildered, I gave up on making conversation. After tea was finished, I rose and looked out the window. I could hardly see anything. Night had come early and it was still snowing heavily. "I don't think it's possible for me to get home now without a guide," I said. "The roads will be buried already, so could you spare a man to show me the way?" "No, I cannot," said Heathcliff, and then he turned away. "Well, then I will have to stay," I said loudly. "I hope it will be a lesson to you to make no more unnecessary journeys on these hills," said Heathcliff, with his back turned. "If you want to stay, you must share a bed with Hareton or Joseph." "I can sleep on a chair in this room," I replied. "No, a stranger is a stranger. I will not permit anyone to wander around my house while I am off guard," said the rude man. With this insult, my patience was at an end. I grabbed a lantern and walked out, but the farm dogs in the yard came after me. Two large dogs ran at me and knocked me down. Heathcliff and Hareton walked outside and laughed at the sight of me on the ground, my nose bleeding from the fall. No one made a move to help me until Zillah, the maid, came out and called off the dogs. Then Zillah led me inside to a room upstairs. In a whisper, she said that I shouldn't make any noise because the master never let anyone stay in this room, but I could use it. I was too tired to ask for an explanation, so I locked the door and lay down on the bed. I couldn't go to sleep immediately, so I picked up an old book that had Catherine Earnshaw's diary written on the front. I opened it to a random page and started to read the faded writing of a young girl who had lived long ago. "An awful Sunday," it began. "I wish my father were alive again. Hindley is terrible. He treats Heathcliff so badly. Poor Heathcliff. Hindley calls him an orphan." I drifted off to sleep and dreamed that a girl's voice outside was crying, "Let me in! I've been waiting 20 years. Suddenly, a small hand came through the window and reached toward me. I woke up screaming in terror. Then I heard someone running up to the door. Heathcliff pushed it open, his face as white as a ghost. "Is anyone there?" he whispered, his voice shaking. "It is only your guest, sir," I said. Heathcliff jumped as if he had been struck, and his candle went flying. "Oh, curse you, Mr. Lockwood," he said, his whole body shaking. Getting dressed quickly, I said, "This room is haunted. If that little thing had got in the window, she probably would have killed me. I think she was Catherine Linton, or Earnshaw, or however she was called. An evil little soul. She told me she had been haunting the house for 20 years. I paused suddenly, remembering Catherine's connection to Heathcliff in the book. "What do you mean by talking in this way to me?" shouted Heathcliff viciously. "How dare you? Under my roof? Leave this room now!" I hurried out, but paused and looked back once I had left the room. Heathcliff was standing on the bed and had his head out the open window, crying, "Come in! Come in! Kathy, do come! Oh, do! Once more!" I turned away and waited in the yard until it was light enough for me to walk back to Thrushcross Grange, my rented house. The walk over the wild, snowy fields took me 4 hours. Arriving home, I was happy to be among normal people again. I went straight to bed, feeling tired and sick, and Mrs. Dean, the servant, brought me a bowl of hot soup. It occurred to me that she might know something about Heathcliff. "How long have you lived here?" I asked her.
18 years, sir. I came when my mistress was married, and after she died, I stayed."
"When I was at Wuthering Heights, I heard that Heathcliff had a son."
"Yes, sir, but he is dead now. Mrs. Heathcliff was his wife. She is my late master's daughter. Her maiden name was Catherine Linton, and I nursed her as a child. Her father used to own this house."
"And who is this Hareton Earnshaw whom I met?" I asked.
"He's the last of the Earnshaw family. His father used to own Wuthering Heights before Heathcliff took it from him."
"Well, Heathcliff seems to have quite a story. Take a seat, Mrs. Dean, and tell me the whole thing," I said, gesturing at a chair.